We're here in Birr Castle with some absolutely magnificent tree species in the grounds around here. Terry, you went out with Lord Ross. Yourself and Anna went out with Lord Ross.
The domain here is probably best known for its telescope, which was built by the third Earl of Ross back in the 1840s. But there's a tremendous variety of trees here also. And yesterday, as you said, Anna and I had the pleasure of a guided tour with the seventh Earl, Lord Ross.
Now, here we are at the next tree I wanted to point out to you, which is a weeping beech tree, one that colours really beautifully in, like, October, goes a lovely kaleidoscopic shades of yellow because it tends to colour from the bottom up or sometimes from the top down. And there's one of these trees either side of the vista to frame the visitor's view of the castle and to frame our view from the castle across the park.
So it's an ordinary fagus then, if you're giving it its Latin name. The important bit of it, or the interest in it, is the fact that it's weeping.
Well, in its scientific name is the fagus indeed, as you rightly say, but the fagus pendula, Fagus sylvatica pendula.
Planting trees in the park, was that part of the work of the third Earl, or did that happen later?
The third Earl was into planting at least some trees here, and those trees are very topical at the end of this year when we're venturing into our biggest tree planting program ever. And that is the planting of the giant redwoods, the sequoia, because that was soon after the sequoia had been discovered in California. And he was given a few samples of this great tree, as some of his other colleagues, obviously at Porus Court and Emo and other places where you can see them today. And the first of those trees, of which we've now got nine, were presented to him by a visiting American astronomer who came to visit the telescope and bring a little present with him, as visitors are always most welcome with.
The Tree Council of Ireland have produced this book called Champion Trees, a selection of Ireland's great trees. And this is only a small version of the Champion Trees of Britain and Ireland, of which I suppose this is a subset. And of course, you're one of the important people, what would you call them, the sponsors of the Champion Trees of Britain and Ireland.
I'm not so much a sponsor at all. I'm one of the Irish, one of the two Irish trustees of the Tree Register of Britain and Ireland, the other one being Thomas Pakenham, who is much better known and much more illustrious than I am, the ultimate tree enthusiast, tree hugger, to be precise.
Well, in the Champion Trees, there's a page for each county, and I'm looking at the County Offaly page, and of, I'd say, more than half of the trees on the page, all belong here in Birr Castle. And we have a whole list of them here, and I suppose the one we all know about, unfortunately for itself in a way, is the grey poplar, because that was the Irish height and girth champion. It was one of the European trees of the year, wasn't it, Terry?
It was indeed, and I was down here earlier on during the year, the day after it blew down, because we were all voting for it, and it was terrible to actually come down and to see it. But I was amazed at the actual height of the tree, even though it was lying down. It's a really, really, really big tree.
So can you tell us about that tree?
It certainly was the biggest tree. In fact, it's the largest poplar that's been recorded anywhere. And once it came down and we managed to get to measure it, which wasn't easy falling down, we found that that was actually 43 metres.
Yes, because the book says 42. Yeah.
And it was growing at an amazing rate. But it wasn't, sadly, nearly so much appreciated during its lifetime or seen by as many visitors as have come to pay tribute to it, since it fell for Ireland, as indeed it did, because it was Ireland's candidate for the European Tree of the Year award. And since then, many thousands of people have come to see the fallen giant.
You'll have to bring us down to see it, because I was told there were lots going to happen to it, to the wood of it.
There have been lots of people proposing lots of different things to the wood, but poplar wood is not very good for making benches or seats or anything out of. It's incredibly soft, largely because the poplars grow so very, 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 very fast. But let's go have a look at it and a few more of my really favourites.
There, I hope the rain doesn't come and drench everybody. So this is the Camcor River now, is it?
This, at the bottom of this steep bank, is the Camcor, which the castle rises above. At this bend of the Camcor, where the castle is situated, straight opposite the monastic site with the old well of the monastery of St. Brendan.
Yes.
And here you see framed the view of the castle itself, dominating the terraces against the old walls of the moat that now serve as backdrop for all the aquaceous plants here, with the Magnolia delevingii that you see in flower here.
Yes.
It was nearly killed in the terrible winter, 2.5 winters ago, when the frost went down. We had frost in minus 16.
Minus 16, yeah. Bor was really living up to his name.
50 years of that.
Yeah, but that's a great use of a moat, to use it as a backdrop. I mean,
yes,
it's much more peaceful.
Away the rest.
Much more peaceful use, indeed.
And I think if we look just over the edge here, we'll see our tree, our poplar that was blown over. Is that right?
We have to go down about 100 metres to see the great poplar that was so tragically blown down in the storm. And this is where we either run down the bank or go down the bank somehow, and we see prostrate the huge, the remains of the huge Populus canescens, or great grey poplar.
And there's a lot of it cut back since I was last here, I see.
You were here shortly after.
Oh, the day or two afterwards.
A day or two after.
Now, this is, we're actually at the tree itself now, at the grey poplar tree.
Let's and go up and touch it.
Huge, yes, indeed,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it really is something. The timber doesn't look that soft to me.
Amazingly, it isn't actually as old as we thought it was. It's probably not more than about 120 because of the extraordinary rate that these grey poplars grow.
Tell us about your sequoias, your redwoods. You have great plans for redwoods.
We have a great plan to plant not another group or avenue or anything of sequoias, the giant redwood and the coastal redwood together, but a grove of them, as naturalistic as possible. One of the reasons we've all agreed on this planting, it's now been established that this sequoia once grew in Ireland as part of the northwestern European landmass.
But and this so is way back in the day now. When would it have grown?
Oh, before about the last three or four ice ages.
Yeah, yeah, so it's not just before the last ice age.
Age or
really back, yeah.
So we're not really, not in any way introducing an alien species of something from across the Atlantic, so much as welcoming back a former native.
A diaspora coming home.
A diaspora. So it is a diaspora of redwoods coming back after just maybe 100,000 years or so.
And the other thing I wanted to speak to you about was, in Burr Castle, we've had an area, thanks to your good self, where people can plant trees if they want to plant a tree to commemorate a loved one or to commemorate a death or to make atonement for going in an aeroplane or whatever. The Tree Council of Ireland has planted trees on their behalf here on your estate. And these trees can be seen. They're native oaks, aren't they?
We have about 1,700 of them planted under that scheme.
And there are plans then, of course, to plant more trees under the Tree Council scheme with yourselves, so people can still put their name down for an oak tree here in Burr Castle, can they not?
They not only can, but they're immensely welcome to.
It's great that Burr Castle has more land available now for this, so that they can continue on, because it's really a popular scheme with people. People haven't got space in their own gardens to plant trees, and they really want to do this. And this country can do with all the trees it can get, can it not?
I think it can. We're lucky enough, in a way, to have the area. The domain is nearly 60 hectares big, which is an enormous size for a garden. And that's why I think we can easily make space available for both the schemes, both the oak in memory of loved ones of the Tree Council of Ireland and the redwood giants, the giant sequoias, under the scheme of Crown, one by next to each other, so you can go from one grove to the next.
Looking at all the different species you have from all over the world, do you worry about pests, say insect pests or mammal pests, and how these will be affected?
Okay, of course we have to be concerned by the pests. And when I came back here over 30 years ago, I found that two of our greatest problems were deer and the grey squirrels. So we had to embark on a very determined campaign to eliminate the grey squirrels while there were a few of our native red squirrels still in the domain. And by dint of a considerable effort, expended over 3 or 4 years, we managed to exterminate the grey and have now got a native red squirrel back in the Burghcastle domain.
And what effect did the grey squirrels have on the trees?
The grey squirrels went up and killed the sort of medium-sized, young, strongly growing beech, and particularly hornbeam, devastated in peeling the bark and stopping the sap in the trees rising. And that killed the top of the trees and eventually stunted the whole tree.
And the red squirrels don't do this?
The red squirrels do absolutely no damage at all. They're adorable little dotes, which the grey squirrel are not.
Well, looking behind us there at that big black cloud, I think it's time for us to move back towards the castle.
Thank you very much, Lord Ross, for having us here in the domain today. It really is great to be shown around by the man himself.
I just love and adore my trees, and I love talking about them, so it was a great pleasure.